All right. A couple announcements here. Deacons meeting May 26th and the Lord's Supper on June 30th. And I think that's all I have. We'll go ahead and dismiss the children. Just to continue to pray for our church family. We have quite a few on the prayer list there, so it's usually shifting and moving and being updated, so just glance at that every once in a while to see what's new. Here we are to number 116 and 117 under our series Religion or Christianity, and we're kind of ending it on the believer's priorities. I know we all want to be successful. I think the only way to do that is by doing things as God wants us to do them. So that's what I'm trying to pull out of the scripture and look at and go from there. So let's go ahead and take a moment of silent prayer. We'd like to take advantage of 1 John 1:9, which says, if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us those sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So it's a beautiful thing because not only can you fail, but you can also pick yourself back up through God's forgiveness and keep moving in His plan. So success is available to every one of us. We just have to realize it. So let's take a moment. We'll do that and we'll get going. Let's pray. Dear Father, we thank you for this time that we have together. We thank you for the study. Thank you for the word. And thank you for the life that you've given us to glorify you and to set ourselves apart to you so we can live differently than the world lives and to influence them in a way that is pleasing to you. We thank you so much for the things that we're studying, and we just ask today that we can concentrate in a meaningful way, understand, and have takeaways that are life-changing. We thank you so much, and we ask all this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. So here we are. If you remember last time, we took a little bit of detour, and we looked at the concept of obedience, which I think obviously goes with priorities, right? If you're going to get the priorities right, I think that includes obedience. You have to pay attention to what the priorities are before you can actually get them right. And that's where obedience kind of slides into the picture. And I think it's necessary, right? We don't often think about obedience as a necessary part. We just do it, or we maybe just don't, it doesn't come to our mind as sometimes it does in the Bible anyways. But it is a component of your spiritual life, and it's a part of who you are as your identification in Christ, right? That's, I think obedience is just like anything else. It takes time. It's what God expects of us throughout that time on earth, and it's something that we should all desire to be better at, right? Obedience are all those things. So, and I always mention that because when I say priorities, we instantly think of sometimes the day-to-day priorities. You know, we get out our notebooks and what do we have to do today? I'm not talking about those priorities. I'm talking about divine priorities. What does God want us to do? What does He want us to think? And you know what's interesting is that once you get those right first, the day-to-day priorities are affected by that. Those priorities that you do day-to-day, if you have the most important ones established, the ones that God wants us to do, your day-to-day thinking and processes and priorities will shift around those priorities. And so that's a good thing. And so don't get hung up on, well, you know, I'm unorganized, I'm messy, I'm not doing this right, I'm not doing that right. Get the first priority correct first, and the rest will follow after that. That's how the scripture and God works. I think the benefits are to be found through obedience. The benefits of God's word, right? The instruction. Remember the blueprints. if we follow those blueprints, we can build what God wants us to build in the soul and realize the results of that in your life. And that's the amazing part of this. It's not just something we see, something we look at, or something we even talk about. It's real. It's real. And I think you can see it in the life that you live. I hope you can. If you can't, maybe reevaluate what you're doing, because obedience plays a necessary part of that. Now, one thing to keep in mind is that this is obviously a huge topic. You know, when I think about priorities, I think about the Bible. So don't think that what we're talking about is all the priorities or just the ones that we can take away and that's it, right? If you think about it, you can take all the commands in the Bible, all the imperative moods, and say those are priorities, because they are. We could take out the little ones and the big ones. My goal here is to take out the high level ones, and I think a lot of the other ones fall underneath these that we're pulling out. So priorities come out throughout our lives, right? In every study, you will pick up different priorities from each study that you need to tweak, you need to change, you need to adjust, and that's a normal part of the process. So no, I can't catch all of them here in this little mini series, but the idea is that I think we'll catch some good ones, right, that we can take note of and latch on to. So a question might be, why is it to our advantage to be obedient? Or as I brought out in the last class, why is it to our advantage to be accurate in following the Word of God? That's really what this is about. Remember, accuracy, or precision, I guess we could say, is part of obedience. It really is. I think it shows your devotion as a Christian to the Word. It shows your dedication. It shows your love directed toward the object of the one that's requiring the commands of us. So there's a lot that goes into this, but, you know, as we're going through this, say, well, why is that so beneficial? Because there's not very many people like yourselves that want to be accurate, that care about accuracy, right? That are not necessarily concerned about the details, but just want the high level and are okay with doing that. So, you know, a question might be, well, what are the advantages of doing and staying accurate in the Word? And by accurate, I mean accurately handling the Word of God. At least that's from where I'm coming from. And I think that's what you all want to be a part of, right? That's why we're here. We want to be careful with the Word and not treat it loosely and not say, well, it could mean this, it could mean that, and we'll just say it means this, just because we want to fall right in the middle of everybody's view. No, we want God's view is what we want. We want what He says, even though we have our own influencing, backgrounds that come into this and personal experiences. But at the end of the day, you kind of have to take those and you have to set them aside and say, well, what does God say? You know, what does the Word of God say about something? And that's where I think it kind of splits the line between people. Some people, that's a hard thing to do. And it is a hard thing to do, right? Sometimes we don't want to hear it. Sometimes we don't want to believe it. Sometimes it takes us a while to get over these things that we've got stuck in us from previous days in our background. And, you know, you have to commend people for sticking it out and knowing that they don't care that those things are happening. All they know is that they want to find the truth. That's underlying all these things that we may think or have preconceptions about. So I'd say hang in there, because obedience comes more and more as you move forward in the plan of God, if you realize that the most important thing is what God says and not what I may have in mind or think about a certain topic, right? So I wanted to talk about, at least briefly, three benefits of doing what you're doing, of having a desire to seek the truth. That's what it's all about, right? Having a desire to be accurate, to know what God wants us to do, and to do it well, to do it precisely, right? Because I think without these three benefits, the Christian is rendered useless in the plan of God. And so accuracy, obviously, is an important thing, I think, because these three benefits, I think, are important. The first one is this: the assurance of eternal of your eternal future. Now, you might not think that's important, but this dictates how you live your life. It dictates how you live your life. There's a lot of people who are not sure about this, and we talked a lot about that, right? Why? Because they don't believe in salvation being by grace and through faith. When it's in some kind of works, there is no assurance of salvation. All the assurance that we have in salvation is found in Jesus Christ and what He did on the cross. The completed work of Christ, He Himself said, it is finished. The assurance is found in what He said and what He did and what He gave us. That's where the assurance is in our salvation. That's where we can hang our hat. That's where we can, but you know what? You'll miss that without the accuracy or at least the attention to what God requires when it comes to salvation. Minor point, but a major point, right? See, accuracy matters. Is it by grace or is it by works? Accuracy matters, right? So if we don't have assurance, what are we doing? Well, we're rendered powerless when it comes to God's plan and being useful, allowing Him to use you in work in on this earth in His ministry. So what a impact this has on people, because guess what? A lot of people don't mind this area. They don't mind being inaccurate when it comes to salvation. Or, like I said earlier, they're dead, locked in drive with the foot on the gas, and nothing's going to steer them away from not having assurance and questioning that. Because the Word of God and Jesus Christ gives us that assurance. If you don't have assurance of your salvation, you need to check your understanding about not what I think about salvation, but what the Word of God says about salvation. And I think that's what has to define the way we think and the way we live our life. Without that, there is no assurance that comes from anything, right? Faith has to bridge that gap, and faith is what gives you the assurance. Why? Because your faith has an object who is perfect, who is sinless, who has died on a cross, who has specified directions in His Word to us, personal directions in His journal that He gave to us to live by. That's assurance, right? And so the completed Word on top of that. So, which leads us to our second point, I think, is after this point, we need to pay attention to the details, because this is how we glorify God. This is how we glorify God. I mean, you know, these things are so important, and I would even go in this order, because without assurance of your eternal future, you're not glorifying God. You can't be filled with the Holy Spirit if you're relying on your own works to get you into heaven. This is about what God did for us, not what we can do for Him, right? That's what the spiritual life is all about. It's about pointing to Him and saying, He did it and He gave it to me. What started at salvation, and then He gave you the Holy Spirit to continue the work in Christ after that point. So we can't really take much credit for much, except waking up and going with what He's given us. And that's a wonderful thing. So this is something that is, at least I think, a purpose of the Christian life. Glorify God. We're here to give the glory to Him. And I think we should do that in the way we live. And we're actually commanded to do that. Right? We're actually commanded to do that. 1 Corinthians 6:19. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and that you are not your own? For you have been bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body. We can't glorify God in our body if we keep pointing the finger at ourselves and saying, look what I did. Look what I can do. Look how much I did to get into heaven. That's not glorifying God. That's glorifying self. There's a big difference there, right? And there's a big difference in the teaching there. There's a big difference in the understanding that goes with that. So to glorify God in our body requires something that God did for us and that He's given us, and it's called the Holy Spirit. God is only glorified through His own power that is in you. And that's how we operate. We walk in the Spirit. We're filled with the Spirit. And therefore, God is glorified in that. Why? Because He understands and He knows that your motivation, and it's now rooted in Him. Your thinking process is rooted in what He says and what He thinks and what He desires of you. When you have that motivation, you're not only making right decisions, but you're carving a path out in life that is pleasing to the Lord. And hey, who doesn't want anything more than that? I mean, that should be the Christian's desire, right? We could say, I want to do what God wants me to do in life. And if you can look back and say, I did that, I mean, what more can you ask for? We all want that, right? So I think that's a strive that we all take. But, and this is why I think I talk so much about this accuracy. You know, we've got so many people out there not glorifying God, not walking in His power, not doing work in the ministry under the power of the Holy Spirit, not growing the church in God's motivation. Right? It's coming from a human motivation, whether it's rooted in money, whether it's rooted in popularity, whether it's rooted in something else, it doesn't matter. But the reality is, if it's not glorifying God, it's not right. It can't be right. I mean, so we want to do things right. And the only way we could do that is to be accurate. If we don't care about all this stuff, that's what you're left with. You're left with piecing the puzzle together on your own. And that's what you get. You get a Christian life that is lived without the power of the Holy Spirit in the flesh, not knowing what to do with all your sins that you keep committing, not understanding why you keep committing sins, because you're not in the details. You're not. Remember, your mind has to be transformed. There has to be the thinking has to be replaced with a different thinking. That's the only way we're going to think differently. And if we're not transforming our mind according to what God says, not according to what I tell you, or according to what I think, then we can actually begin to shift and change and move and glorify God in the way that He desires. That's the thing about glorification that a lot of people don't necessarily think about. Glorification is by God's standards. Glorifying Him is by His specifications on how to glorify Him. We can't pick and choose how we glorify God. He's given us the blueprint on how to do that, right? So many people have a lot of ideas about what pleases God. Well, does it really please God is the question. Or is it just something done for the visual effect by everyone else? Is it just something done to make an appearance, or just to make a presence known, or just to have that, you know, that image that we all build up? Is it just for that, or is it for true meaningful purposes and with the right motivation? I don't know. That's for each person to decide in their own heart, right? But that's kind of what this is getting down to. It's not something that we can look at people and judge them for, because we don't know. But what I'm telling you is there is a right way and there's a wrong way. And Jesus called out many people because they were doing it out here, but they weren't doing it in here. And hey, if there's a disconnect there, there's a disconnect in your accuracy in finding out how to do it. Because that's definitely not what Jesus Christ is showing us through His life. It's not, right? He wasn't a hypocrite. He was Christ. And he was genuinely God and man in one person. And He was the perfect example that showed us that we're not just pretty on the outside when we're thinking other things on the inside. He was through and through a genuine Christ. He was our God, right? So I think we can put our obviously faith in that. So you got to have accuracy with obedience, or what you end up with is my ideas or your ideas of what may sound good or look good. But at the end of the day, is it really good? I mean, good according to divine good, you know, because human good and divine good, they're different. They're different. I mean, an unbeliever can do a heck of a lot of good, but is it? Acceptable before God? No, it can't be. He's an unbeliever. I mean, you know, there's only deeds that are done in the right motivation that glorify God, or in a wrong motivation. that don't glorify Him. So we want to get those things right, because I think that's what makes your life meaningful with purpose, is where you're operating from, right? So I know I've said this before, but you know, we kind of keep coming back to this. Man is not, our religion is not from God, but from man. We talk about this. We mention it. We talk about it. Jesus Christ is not a religion. Jesus Christ is not a religion. I think that's the easiest way to explain that. Jesus Christ and His Word are not a religion, right? Jesus was not religious. He was a Jew. There's a big difference between saying He was this, He was that, He went to this church, He went to that. He was a Jew. And He followed the Word of God because He was God. Right? He was the walking Word of God. And He's the one who gave us His own Word. So if you want to call Jesus Christ a religion, fair enough. But that's what I call Christianity, right? Because it has Christ in it. So I'm making a distinction between Christ and everything else. If you want to separate it, just Christ and everything else. So, and Christ isn't from man. Definitely not, right? Definitely not from man. So what we're seeing today is something that has originated with man. And guess what you get? You get man's ideas, man's interpretations, man's conclusions. And those things are obviously a little different from God's. And I realize we're all human. I'm a human, right? And I'm going to get things wrong. But what I'm showing you is that you have to at least make an effort to get it right. At least some kind of effort to get it right. And if you don't mind getting it wrong, what's the end result? Well, you're not glorifying God. You're not glorifying God. And I think that's mostly due to the fact that the Holy Spirit is not involved in the process. Remember, if we desire to live according to the desires of the flesh, that's what you end up with. You might have a big church. You might have a fun church. You might have a motivating church. You might have a church with a whole lot of people. But if it's not rooted in the right motivation, what do you got? You got a church that you're living in the flesh for. You're living by a desire that your flesh likes and enjoys and wants to be around. And I'm not saying all those things are bad by any means. It'd be cool to have those things and teach the Word of God. Wouldn't that be amazing if you could find a church that would teach the Word, stand on the truth, and have the fun things too? But it's impossible. It's an impossibility. It would be very cool, but it's just impossible. Why? Well, first of all, we'd probably attract a whole bunch of people that aren't interested in the Word. Aren't interested in the Word. And those are the ones that starts eating away at the congregation in the church. And then all my hair would fall out, right? Because part of my job is to protect the flock with the Word. How do I do that? Study and teach. You think different, you can protect, right? Yourself, you have discernment, you can protect. So it is a self-sustaining thing that the Word of God gives us, that gives us protection. Guess what? If we got a bunch of people in here that aren't interested in learning the Word of God, we're in trouble, right? Because those are the ones who begin to make factions, begin to separate, begin to cause problems, begin to do this, that, and the other. Now you have a church full of drama is what you have. We don't want that, right? So that's, I wanted to point that out because that's an important point of this. And when you have either one of these, you end up with a lot of priorities, but they're definitely not from God and His desire for us. So the third reason that we want to be accurate is right here. There's great personal benefit and gain in this. Huge, huge to you and to me as a personal. The spiritual life is personal. Do you realize that you're affected first before anybody else is affected by the things that we're studying, we're learning? The Word of God, the Holy Spirit is giving us and allowing us to see and learn. You're affected first. That's the first stop before it goes anywhere else. And you know what? Those benefits and that gain is something that people desire. The very things that the Scripture promises are the things that you're experiencing on a day-to-day and week-to-week and month-to-month and year-to-year basis, and those are the things that people are seeking. But they're looking in the wrong places. But they're found in the Word of God. And I'd say if we're accurate, we have a desire to find them. Guess what? You will find them. You will find them. You might ask, what are some of those benefits? Well, here's just a few of them. I mean, I didn't even take that much time to put these on the paper, but look, we've got love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, living in righteousness, no fear, contentment, satisfaction, happiness, having a life with purpose and destiny, less stress, strength, protection, and blessings. That's not even a long list. I mean, the scripture gives us so much more than this. This is just some that I hear, right? You can see some of these are fruits of the Spirit. Some of these are results of fruits of the Spirit. But it's all things and gain and blessings that God allows us to experience. And these are things that so many people are searching for. And they're not found in the world. But Satan wants you to think they're found in the world. Why? Because you search in the world. And when you go to search in the world, you can get lost. And you can get off track. And you can spend a lot of time searching when you can't find it. And you can spend a lot of time wasted when all the whole time it was right here in the Word. Look at these things. I mean, this is ridiculous what God has given us to experience and enjoy. Even in a fallen world, we can experience these things. There's so much here. You know, people are looking for, you know, the thing that keeps relationships together, love. How do I love? How do I love my spouse? How do I love my friend? How do I love my neighbor? How do I love my family member in a way that keeps the fellowship there, right? Well, the only place you're going to get that and understand that is through God, through His power, through His thinking. Because we don't think like He does naturally. We think with a sin nature. That's why we need something different than we have. And we can only get it here through the Word of God. So much here. You know, look at the middle one that says living in righteousness. How big is that? How big is that? You know, you look at your kids, you say, man, I wish they would live in righteousness. Why? Because they make right decisions in life. I mean, that one's huge. Guess what gives them the ability to make right decisions? The Word of God. Getting them reared in the Word of God. And that's a challenge, especially living in this world that we live in today. They've got everything else beaten at their door, trying to get them to go the other way. We've got everything. Satan is trying to ruin and distract every single one of these and tell them, no, it's here. It's here. It's here. It's here. Right in the public schools, starting at age negative zero. I mean, they're there waiting on the kids to base it off unrighteousness instead of living in righteousness. So we'll talk a little bit about that too, because, you know, we've got an influence to make just like they make an influence. You know, we are in a war here. You can't forget that. That is, we can't just sit on our hands and expect things to just happen. So which leads us to our, fourth benefit, and this is a lot, by the way, but these are things I want you to keep in mind that you will experience and have and do have only if you're accurate and you care about what God's Word says to a T. I'm not saying we always get that right, but I darn sure can say that we sure give it our best shot. We do. And here's the fourth one. We want to be a useful soldier in the faith, a useful Christian soldier. You know, you're all soldiers. You may not think of yourselves like that, but you're in a battle. You're in a war. You know, every day we're in these, we see these things that come at you like you can immediately spot it as darkness. You can immediately spot it as sinful, as evil. You can immediately tell that it's something that's not right and it's not from God, but it's being pushed down the throats of your family, of your children, of you, everything else that is walking and breathing. They want to influence. Well, we want to be useful in that area. We don't want to just sit on the by the sidelines and just watch as the war rages, because it is raging. It is raging, right? It is a raging war, and it continues to rage. And guess where it's being played out? The human race. You, me, we're involved in this. It's not just God and Satan up there, you know, fencing. This is being played out between you and I, right here, on this earth. I mean, that's pretty important. So, I think there's a role that we have to play in the conflict. There's a purpose that God has put you here, a very important purpose. There is a gift that He's given you. There are things that are different about you than about another person for a very specific reason. You have a very specific personality. You know very specific skills. You know very specific things that are different from someone else. I think that's very unique for a specific reason, right? We're here to glorify God, which is to use the things that He's given us for His purposes. Now, you know, that is dedication, right? That is obedience. But at the end of the day, isn't that what we want to be? We want to be useful. You know, I'd hate to get to the end of this and say, you look back and say, you know what? I was a believer. I was somewhat growing, but I was really relaxed in that area. And you know what? I was an unuseful soldier. I was an unuseful soul. That's what we don't want. That's what we don't want to do, is to look back and say, God couldn't use me because I wasn't prepared spiritually. I wasn't prepared spiritually. I think that's what all this boils down to. We want to be prepared spiritually so that God can use us. That's why, one of the reasons why we're so dedicated to what we do, because God is using people who are ready to be used. He's using them. He's waiting and willing and ready to use them as they come up and stand in line, because they're qualified to be used in whatever area that may be. I don't know where that is, but guess what? There's a lot of areas. There's a lot of areas to be used. And I think it's exciting to know that there's so many potentials, there's so many opportunities, as we'll see, that God wants to use you. Think about where you spend most of your time. A lot of darkness in those areas. A lot of people to influence in those areas. A lot of things to say, a lot of things to do, a lot of influence that can be had in those places. But you'll never see that potential unless you become useful, unless you prepare yourself to be used by God in the ways that He wants to use you. So anyways, you know, you can't expect to pass the test of life or have any discernment or to stand firm in the devil's world unless you're prepared. So many people just expect these things to fall in their lap. They expect all these benefits just to God to just dump these things on them just because I walk in the church doors. Negative. It takes accuracy. It takes you wanting to know what the truth is. Not just, you know, some watered down message, some watered down gospel message, some watered down way to live the Christian life. That is not what this is referring to. If we want to experience the benefits, that's why I'm calling them benefits. Because we have to be attentive to what He's saying in order to experience them. That's the reason they're there, right? It's amazing to me that, you know, so many people just walk in the doors of a church and expect they're going to do all these things and experience all these things. Negative. These are things that are only experienced is if we follow God's directions on how to experience them. That should be a given, I would think, but it's not a given. It's not a given because there's something called Satan and evil that loves to distract people when it comes to every one of these benefits right here. Why? Because he doesn't want you to experience the benefits. If you're experiencing these benefits, he's in trouble. He doesn't have much freedom or play to work in around you and you're thinking. Why? Because you're shored up with the truth, the Word of God, and your thinking is prepared. you could say, right? It's preparation with the Word. I came across a post, and I actually reshared it because it's true. It says Satan's greatest weapon is man's ignorance of God's Word. That's a fact. That's a fact. That's what Satan loves, is people that are ignorant of what is right. People that are ignorant of what God wants. Satan loves that area. See a lot of youth in that area today. Ignorant, and I'm not using ignorant as a bad word or to talk down on people. I'm using it as to what it really means. They don't know. They haven't been exposed, or they just don't know what the right way is. They don't know. So what do? You're surely not going to go in the right direction by default. We don't do that. We go in the wrong direction by default. So they need some influence. I mean, look at all these kids on these college campuses, you know, having a fit because they think they hate the Jews or something. You know, they don't know. They just know what Satan has influenced in them. We haven't countered that with anything else, so that's all they know. I mean, that's what they think, you know, at least for the time being. But what I'm telling you is, if you don't know, it means you've been influenced in the wrong direction and you've made the wrong choices. We can't take the blame off of them because they do have a volition, right? They made a decision to be where they are. But at the same time, anybody can be influenced in a positive direction. So we don't want to be ignorant, because Satan loves that area, and you can see it on the news. He uses people like pawns. He'll use them and move them and shift them and everything he does, because there's no knowledge of what God says about a certain way to live. And if you don't know that way to live, you're going to be doing stuff like that, like crazy people in a zoo. I mean, that's what it looks like. And they're so young. It's like, man, I know they're not ruined already. They're not old enough to be completely destroyed and ruined, right? They're young. They're young. They just got out of their partial innocence 10 years before that point, right? I mean, they're still ripe for changing their course in life. So we can't write them off for sure, right? They just don't know. They just don't know the Word. They just need to be influenced. They need to be influenced. So don't blame Satan. It's not Satan's fault. That's his job. That's what he does. We need to realize where our purpose is within that, right? We have a part to play when it comes to evil. And I think it's right here at the fourth one, being useful. Useful. Because there are people that are having influence in those areas, in those schools, in those instances, that is glorifying to God. And it's things that he desires us to do when it comes to being or dealing with those things. So, but you know, you got to deal with negative volition as well. And you have to take that into account. And sometimes people have to take that road before they can see a better way, right? You got to take to the end of the road of destruction before you can get back on the road to getting better, to getting well. And that it definitely involves spiritual as well as physical, if you want to look at it, right? So those are just some of the benefits of why I wanted to detour on obedience. These are just some of them. There's a lot that, obviously, a lot that fall under here, but these are some high-level benefits for sure. Accuracy. Accuracy matters. Don't ever mistake it. And when you make a decision to maybe choose a different option that is second best or secondary or maybe not as pure, know for a fact that you're sacrificing some or all of these as a Christian, a growing believer, doesn't need to do. These are benefits that we all need and we all have available. But guess what? If you don't have a desire to experience and see them, you won't do it. So, and all this keeps coming back to standing for the truth, doesn't it? Standing for the truth. I mean, even spiritual growth. I mean, we could be in a lot of places right now. It takes dedication to grow, to learn, to want a desire to grow in God's Word and to know what He wants from us. There's a desire there. So keep standing on the truth, I'd say, because remember in 2 Timothy 4:5, that we studied right after Paul talked about people turning away from the truth. What did he say? He gave us four commands. Be sober, be alert in all things. Then he said, endure hardship, actually properly, putting your faith in him, right? Do the work of an evangelist. There's your influence right there. And fulfill your ministry, whatever area, whatever place God has you in. Those were four commands that were to Timothy that I think have we have a part to play in those as well. Everybody should do the work of an evangelist. It doesn't say be an evangelist. It says do the work of. Do the work of. Therefore, that includes everybody, right? So, but you got to be alert. In order to be alert, you got to know. You can't be ignorant. You got to know what God says and what He wants. So, when we come back, we'll jump into 2 Corinthians 11 because this continues about the same kind of thing we're talking about being obedient and what that will mean for each one of us as we move forward in God's plan. So let's pray. Dear Father, we thank you so much for the visibility, the clarity in your word. Sometimes we wake up and we're not sure about which direction to go, which what to do, or not necessarily what even to what actions to take, but we know that if we put our trust into you, that you will lead us and guide us in the right direction. We thank you so much for that that confidence that we have in you. We ask all these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.